نعم. إن شاء الله سنأخذ الأسئلة بعد صلاة العشاء. The questions going to be after صلاة العشاء إن شاء الله. من الأسباب في شو الغلو ما ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أبي هريرة عند البخاري والنسائي أيضا. هذا حديث الإمام بخاري reported on the authority of أبو هريرة. This is one of the يعني causes of the غلو. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا الدين يسر, وفي جاء في رواية إن هذا الدين متين فأوغلوا فيه برغ, وفي هذا الرواية إن هذا الدين يسر ولن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه. This religion is a religion of ease and there will be no one who try to be so extreme in this religion except that the religion will defeat him. Or meaning, the meaning of that is that he will not be able to obtain upon the proper understanding of the deen, rather that he can continue successfully on what he is upon. نعم. هذا إنما ينتج عن قلة العلم. This comes because the person has no knowledge. أو تلقي العلم من غير مصادر صحيحة. Or getting the علم from the non-proper channels of علم. ما معنى ذلك؟ What is the meaning of that? تجد الشاب يتعلم يتتلمذ على الكتب. You see the youngster seeks his knowledge from the books. وأسوأ ما يكون إذا تعلم عن طريق كتب مترجمة. And the worst thing when he seeks the knowledge through the translated books. لأن هذه الكتب المترجمة إنما وضعت للمسلم العام العادي حتى يقرأ بس ويطلع, ليس لأن يكون طالب علم. These translated books are not bought for يعني the person to be a proper طالب العلم. This is just for the general Muslim who wants just to read something about his religion, but not to be a proper طالب العلم and start giving fatawa and lectures and trouble. And this is one another problem you see in the West, a big mess, because there is no alim, there is a big mess. يعني we see some يعني people who either never studied with ulama or maybe they went abroad to somewhere, studied 1 or 2, 3 years, which cannot be even enough for an Arab student to be somebody who give fatawa and set up conferences, and rather than it for an Ajami who is not Arab and maybe a revert. Just fresh, newly coming to Islam, mashallah, he went to abroad to, for example, the Jamia Islamiyah, and he studied in the Ma'had of the Arabic institute in the Jamia for some time, maybe graduated, maybe not. And when he graduates, it is almost 99% of the students who are non-Arabs who graduate from the Ma'had, 99% of them, they have only around from 60 to 70% Arabic. Cannot be given to him 100%. Cannot. Nah, because the Ma'ad goes with them with hada babun, hada baytun. That's how he gets the Arabic. He does not go through major books. And even when he goes through major books, I don't say that there are no students of knowledge from the West. No, there are. There are students of knowledge, proper students of knowledge from the West. And Allah Ta'ala blessed them. They are continuing on what they are upon. And they are teaching what they know. That's it. They do not get into things that they are not aware of, or they have no knowledge of. But you see, number that checks you today of du'at in the West who are not qualified. Who are not qualified, sincerely. They are not qualified. نعم. They did not study, or if they studied, they studied partially. نعم. And they consider themselves يعني دعاء that they get interfered into major things like جرح وتعديل وهجر وكلام و... and they get involved in teaching يعني ما شاء الله major books in عقيده. يعني they are, I don't say they're not qualified to do nothing, but they are qualified to organize the masjid, to organize the bookstore, to organize school, just to be يعني from the authority in that, but not to be the du'at. It's wrong, يا أخي. The du'at are the representative of the prophets and messengers, or the narrators of the prophets and messengers. How come you jump on this position and you claim it for you if you are not qualified? This is a problem, يا أخي. You have to be careful of that. And they start talking about or criticizing some people who, when these people compiled their first book, this boy was yet born. Or maybe when the sheikh came to the masjid giving his first lecture, he was with his father with the mopi, and now he says, this is not a alim, he doesn't have ilm. Inshallah. Now, yani this is the problem. We have to, and sometimes the emotion is the cause of the yani ghulu, emotion. I love this one, I'll be very emotional with him. Whoever this person criticized him, I criticize him. No, this is not correct. This is not correct. This person who you, yani in Ramadan, a man came to me, young man, non-Arab, he came to me in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he asked me about the ruling of Salat al-Taraweeh, it is 11 or more. I said, look, the ulama from all days have different opinions, even the Sahaba, different opinions. Now, at least Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and Ishaq ibn Rahoya, from the ones I remember, they say it's okay to pray more than 11. He said, but Sheikh so-and-so says it is not permissible. The Sheikh was living today. I said, Akhi, Sheikh say so-and-so, may Allah yani reward him and Allah bless him, and I love him for the sake of Allah, but I'm telling you, Malik Ahmad, where are you going to put this Sheikh there? Let's be logic. Where you put this Sheikh, whoever he is today, compared to Malik and Ahmad? I don't say that he has no right to do ijtihad. No, he has right like Ahmad and Malik. But you want me necessarily to take this opinion because it is from Sheikh also. Should I, am I guilty if I take the opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal? That sounds very strange. Or Malik ibn Anas, or Shafi'i, or Abu Hanifa, or how come that? Sufyan, or you telling me not to take their opinion, but to take this scholar's opinion? This is wrong, akhi. This is wrong. Naam? Anyway, these are from the reasons of ghulu. From the reasons of ghulu is the oppression that is. Let's be also logic. There is an oppression practiced against people today. And this also leads to ghulu. Leads to ghulu. We have to be just with everyone. If Allah Ta'ala commanded us to be just with the kuffar, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَرَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. With the kuffar, Allah Ta'ala is telling us to be just. Don't let your hatred to the kuffar, which is correct, don't let it make you oppress them. No. This is haram. And also from the causes of the appearance of ghulu is the media. Media today. Whether it is TV channels or internet or whatsoever, being misused. Some of it intentionally and some unintentionally. The majority of it, yani, intentionally, yani, driven to cause these kind of problems and bring them out. Therefore we say, Akhi, don't take everything from the media. No, don't trust the media. Don't trust the media. Go back to the proper sources, Ahl al-Ilm. You have anything, go back to Ahl al-Ilm. Don't trust the media. Take it from Ahl al-Ilm. Naam? Is it Salah or? Still 2 minutes. Correct? How we treat or solve this problem, the problem of ghulu, first of all by yani, by speaking about the principles of deen in issue of ghulu, takfir, tabdi', harshness, we have to bring to the people what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, what Rasulullah Sallam said in the Sunnah, how the Sahaba dealt with these things. Na'am? We have to bring this to the people. Let them see how beautiful is Islam. Na'am? And when we say that we hate the Yahud, it does not mean that we yani, be unjust with them. Abdullah ibn Umar used to have a neighbor who was Yahud, and he, whenever he slaughters a sheep, he sent part of it, of its meat to his Yahud neighbor. Yeah? And Allah Ta'ala in the Quran told us that the neighborhood are three qualities. One has three rights, one has two rights, one has one right. One of three rights is your neighbor, who's your relative, who's Muslim. Has three rights. Right of neighborhood, right of Islam, right of kinship. The second is a neighbor who is Muslim but not your relative. He has two rights, right of neighborhood and right of Islam. And the third is a neighbor has one right. That is a neighbor who is not Muslim and not relative. He still has one right with you, which is the neighborhood. You have to be good with it. You have to be good with it. Now, also, we have to be clear when we speak about things that can have yani, two meanings. So we don't leave it gray. We have to yani, clarify it, bring it clear to the people. Now, we have to bring it clear to the people. Yani, the wrong we say wrong, khalas. That's it. Yani. No problem to say. And also, there is the responsibility on the shoulders of the du'at, the proper du'at, to, yani, like the brothers now here in this masjid, when they knew that I'm here in London, they invited me to come and give a talk. But they chosen this very sensitive topic. This is correct. This is the way it should be. Because today, one of the major problems with the people is ghulu. So we have to address it the proper way. Naam? And we have to remove all the doubts around it. Yes, it is true that one lecture is not enough, but I'm sure that inshallah they will and they are continuing on explaining this and presenting it to the people so the people warn against it. And they know it and say it clearly and how dangerous it is to them and how it can harm them. And at the end, the major factor of protection from ghulu is to go back to the ulama. And when we say the ulama, we do not choose. I mean, the alim that I know that he is going to say what I want to hear. And that's not correct. We go back to the ulama, meaning the kibar of the ulama. So have Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Sheikh Salih al-Haydan, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, نعم, and some other shuyukh, but these are the major ones, and these are the ones who deal with the affairs and problems of the whole ummah, not only Saudi Arabia, but the whole ummah. And they, يعني the Mufti Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, is the head of the Majma' al-Fiqhi, that organization where ulama from all around the world, Islamic world, come, I think twice or more than two times a year, sit together in one hall, discuss some of the affairs of the Muslim world today, and come up with the solutions. So these very well experienced people in the Islamic affairs are the ones we need to refer the issues like this to them and address it to them, so they tell us how to do, what to say, how to deal with others. نعم والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. إن شاء الله يكون قبل الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون فضلا من الله ونعمة والله عليم حكيم وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله فإن فاءت فأصلحوا بينهما بالعدل وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون الله
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكون خيرا منهم ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم لك السلام. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. طيب if there is any question we can take inshallah. We'll give around roughly 20 minutes inshallah. وإذا ما في أسئلة يكون أحسن. And if there are no questions we'll give it.
Sometimes you can find if you come across people who have deviant ways or ideas, yeah, how should we behave towards them? Because sometimes I find that you might not behave, you also can behave like them, going against them.
Excellent. How do we behave when we come across people who are upon deviation? You behave the way, or based on what do you want from them? What do you want from them? What do you want them to do, to be? That is the question. What do you want them now to do? Leave this deviation? None? Then you approach them gently, nicely. None? When the young man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, permit me for zina. Allow me to practice zina. This is something big. To approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who do you know that he forbids zina? And you come and tell him that, this is something big. But see how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reacts. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, come and sit. So he came and sat down. He started asking him, do you accept it for your mother? He said, no. He said, well, everybody doesn't accept it for mother. Do you accept it for your sister, your aunt, your daughter, your wife? He said, no, no, no. He said, everyone does not accept it. And it means that if you are going to practice, then are you going to practice with someone's sister, or someone's daughter, or someone's mother, or someone's aunt, or someone's wife? These are the women. So see how nice he approached it. What did the man say? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah to remove the love of zina from my house. And he said, MashaAllah. And when the man came and passed urine at the corner of the Masjid al-Nabawi, how did Rasulullah ask? The man, then the Sahaba wanted to, they shouted at him. The Prophet said to them, no, don't shout at them. Don't cause him to run or move, and then he harmed himself and scattered the urine all around. And then when the man finished, he called him and he said, brother, this masajid, this mosque, are not for this. It's only for prayer and for dhikr of Allah and recitation of Quran. How did the man react? He said, Allahumma aghfir li wa aghfir li Muhammad wa la taghfir ma'ana li ahadin abada. He said, oh Allah, forgive me and Muhammad. And don't forgive anyone else. لما رأى من لطف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم و حسن تعامله معه ولينه صلى الله عليه وسلم. As he saw, as the man saw Rasulullah, how humbly and gently he approached the man and guided him. So we say now, what exactly do you want from them? If you just want to kill them and put them in the fire, there is a way how to treat them. But if you want to take the position of the prophets and messengers and bring them to the haqq, then be nice and gentle to them. Rasulullah, when the people of Mecca abused him and they did not allow him to spread his da'wah, he tried to go to somewhere else. He went to Taif, but again the people of Taif abused him and they did not accept him. And they commanded their mad ones and children to stone him and bleed his ankles. On the way to Mecca, very sad, bleeding, Jibreel came along with the angel of the mountains, who is responsible of mountains. Now, and introduced the angel of mountains to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the angel of mountains said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has sent me to you to command me with whatever you want. If you wish now, I could ask the two main mountains of Mecca upon them and finish them. Khalasa said, no, I wish that Allah Ta'ala bring out of their backs who worship Allah alone. And it happened. And if someone would say, oh, see, this is impossible. La la, it is possible. See how long it took to happen? This was early in the after Prophethood. The Prophet ﷺ continued in Mecca until the year 13 of the Prophethood. Then he was commanded to migrate to Medina. He migrated to Medina, and in Medina he remained 8 years. 8 years. So this is 13 and 8, 21 years. 21 years, yet that did not happen. On the 8th year of Hijra calendar, which is year number 23 of the Prophethood, he sallam came with big army to conquer Mecca. And he conquered Mecca with no any drop of blood. Now, when he conquered Mecca, the kuffar who were there were arrested. They were arrested and brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Kaaba. Well, they used to abuse him by the Kaaba. At the same place where they put the dirt over his back when he was prostrating. He looked at them and he said, what do you think I'm going to do with you? Now, what did he want from them? Did he want to destroy them? No. He wanted to guide them. See how he now approached them. He said, what do you think I'm going to do with you now? They said, you are a kind brother and a kind nephew. He then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, then you are free, you go. Immediately they embraced Islam. Who do you know who they are? Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. See? His father is Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl. Who can be worse than Abu Jahl? Who can be worse than Abu Jahl? And Ikrimah, up until that day, was very, very hard enemy of Rasulullah. And he was one of the strong leaders of the army of Quraysh in Badr, in Khandaq, in Uhud. In all these places, he fought against Rasulullah very strongly. But now, he became one of the leaders of the army of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Khalid ibn Walid, his father. And many, many others. Amr ibn al-As, his father, al-As ibn Wa'an. Who were enemies of Rasulullah. From out of all those backs, Allah Ta'ala brought the Sahaba who conveyed the message to us. By what? By gentleness. By a gentle approach. Ya ikhwan, in the incident of conquering Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa marched just before Mecca in a place called Ashfar. And he sent his uncle Abbas to go and bring Abu Sufyan, the head of Mecca, the sheriff of Mecca. He said to him, bring him and let him take him to the top of this hill where he can see the valley where the army of the Muslims were. And then the Prophet ﷺ divided the army in two tribes. Yani, the tribe of Bani Salama alone, the tribe of this alone, and everyone carried their flag. To show that all the Arabs would be now. Why? It's yani, from one point to terror them, but a positive terrorism. What is there a positive terrorism? Yes. He wanted to make them feel that we don't need to fight us. Let's come to peace. Yeah? So, Abu Sufyan thought of it. And then Rasulullah sent someone before he approached Mecca to call in all Mecca, all around Mecca. Whoever gets into his house and locks his door, he is safe. Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Whoever enters the Masjid al-Haram is safe. See to what limit. When he came to Mecca, when he entered Mecca, he hears someone saying, Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama. He said, today is the day in which we cut the flesh of the kuffar. He looked at him and he said, no. Al-Yawma Yawmul Marhama. Today the day of mercy. Shuf Subhanallah. So, yani, when you come across deviant people, ask yourself, what do I want from them? What do I want them to do? If you want them to accept Islam, then you approach them nicely. It's not logic that you come to someone who wants to accept Islam or accept the Sunnah or the Haqq, and you start yani, calling him bad names, accusing him, sorry, abusing him, yani, using rough words. No, this is not correct. You have to approach him gently. نعم والله أعلم الله أعلم yes yes some people say that we do know how to return to the كبار العلماء and major affairs such as جرح وتعديل. But rather we can return those matters back to those who are supposedly more knowledgeable in affairs in these affairs. Yani who could be more knowledgeable than the Kibar al-Ulama? We are saying Kibar al-Ulama, the major scholars, and then we say we return it to those who are more knowledgeable. What does that mean? What does that mean? More knowledgeable are the kibar ulama. They are the more knowledgeable ones. Unless if he wants to say that there is yani, specific yani, skill or field of knowledge. There is no specific field of knowledge called jarh wa ta'dil. By the meaning that yani, we have field of fiqh, we have field of hadith. We have field of mawarid, we have field of aqidah, we have field of Arabic language. But we don't have field, special field for jarh wa ta'dil. You go to college called the College of Jarh wa Ta'dil, and later on you become a graduate of, mashallah, Mujarrihul Mu'addil. Yeah. This is an experience that the ulama have throughout their life. Throughout their experience of calling to Allah, they know these things. So then let's talk about this. You have somebody in your town who commits a mistake of aqidah. You think that Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Sheikh is not qualified to tell you what to do or what to say? Well, if we talk about a special field, for example, jarh wa ta'dil of the narrators of hadith, yeah, of course, there are some scholars. But you are not talking about this type of knowledge, jarh al-ruwah. Because jarh al-ruwah today, there is no scholar can practice jarh al-ruwah. Because all the scholars are taken from the books of the scholars before them. All right? Of, for example, taqreeb, or the Sirah Alam al-Nubala, or the books of the narrators, which speak about the narrators. But when you speak about death of somebody who is living, existing today, he is not a narrator of hadith. You are talking about someone who committed a mistake in understanding, for example, an issue of aqidah, issue of fiqh, or issue like that. Then you refer the whole thing. Don't cut and paste. Don't cut it to what you like. Now, bring it, all of it, to the alim. And the alim will know it, and he will tell you what it is. Now, he will tell you what it is, and how to deal with it, and how to deal with that man. Yeah. But to say that يعني كبار العلماء يعني this is the exact statement of the سروريين. سروريين say these علماء are علماء of حيد وريفاس. Same as the people of Bida in the old days. يعني السروريين as during the يعني Gulf War they used to say يا إخوان our علماء جزاهم الله خير give us فتاوى and طلاق and يعني جزاهم الله خير they're doing good effort to us but this thing what we did جرح التعديل we how come we condemn them because they exercise جرح التعديل against the علماء against the rulers yeah so how come today we come and do the same thing we say no Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Sheikh is mashallah al-Sheikh is Salafi but he's not good in Jarh al-Ta'dil we're going to go to someone else Sheikh Fawzan no Sheikh Al-Haydan Sheikh Akbar what is this it's a miss it's a big miss now therefore we say no we have to go we have to refer this is from the affairs that Allah Ta'ala said إذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلموا الذين يستنبطونه منهم لعلموا الذين يستنبطونه منهم If an affair of fearless or security approaches them they spread it widely while if they refer it back to the messenger من السنة الرسول to the messenger or to the inheritors of the knowledge of the Rasulullah the messenger and the Rasulullah the Rasulullah wa ila ulil amr minam and ulil amr ulil amr as the ulama say of two types scholars and rulers scholars and rulers so you turn it back to these two and a person like for example Adaz al-Shaykh is a scholar and he's not a ruler, but he is with the ruler. And by the meaning that he has power. Now, yani when you tell him about someone who is committing bid'ah or shirk in Saudi, for example, he can give you the fatwa, and he can also speak to the ruler to stop this evil. Now, if it is outside Saudi, at least he can give you yani the fatwa on how yani to do that. So this is a false statement to say that we don't refer back to kibar ulama. No, we have to refer back to kibar ulama in all of our matters. In all of our matters, especially this kind of matters that bring disputation, split, enmity, hatred. Now, because as we see now, Salafiyya was very small. Very, very small, maybe 15, 20 years ago, very difficultly you can see a Salafi. Now, Alhamdulillah, it was growing, and many, many scholars known of the scholars of Salafi. Out of Sudan, it become now smaller, and all those, not because they died, not because they passed away, no, because they were taken away out of the Salafiyya. Yesterday, Salafi, he's a scholar of Jarh al-Ta'dil, today he's majruh, he's out. Nah, this is not correct, Ahmad. This is not correct. We have to be, yani, we have to be just in what we say. Long start. Yesterday at ICT, you mentioned a saying who gets the ilm inshallah gets the ilm in art they write the sculptures so مخطوطات They exercise their writing in English on me, to see whether they are good English writers. I know English only just like any one of you know Arabic. Very, very clear. Now, and I try always not to speak in English, but the brothers say, no, 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 it's better God translating. Although I just believe that. Although, honestly, out of what I saw of the yani, translations, I believe that one speak directly in weak English is better than having translated. Because in most occasions, the speech dies yani, on the way to your ear, between the speaker and the translator. We'll take this one.
Yesterday at ICC, you mentioned a saying, whoever attains ilm in one punch,
and he can stop. Ah, Fidu Dub'ai.
We'll lose it in one punch. Could you repeat it in Arabic, please? And where is this saying from?
That's our ICT. Inshallah, is after me until here, inshallah. No, we said that, yani, some of Al-Ilm said, من أخذ العلم جملة فقده جملة. من أخذ العلم جملة فقده جملة. يعني إذا أخذه دفعة واحدة هكذا. Whoever gets the ilm in punch like this, he will lose it in punch. He will lose it at once like that. نعم. يعني هم يعنون, they mean by that, you take the ilm يعني gradually. Gradually. The problem is the people in every field of ilm, other than the Sharia ilm, they go gradually. And they believe in that. In the Sharia ilm, they want to just jump like that. Yesterday he converted to Islam, and then today he studied with someone, A-E-U-B-A-B-E-B-O-O. Tomorrow he started explaining Fath al-Bari. MashaAllah. See, this is wrong. You have to go gradually. And you have to spend, long time. I don't say some time, no. You have to spend long time and seeking knowledge. And with the ulama. If you have no chance to go abroad and study with the ulama, I say, who go abroad and study with the ulama, he needs at least 10 years to be talib al-ilm. Not to be alim, to be talib al-ilm. But if he wants to, if he cannot go to the ulama and he wants to study with talib al-ilm, he needs to double the period. To be considered talib al-ilm, he needs 20 years. 20 years, constant study. If you want to study with, for example, Umar in Baxter, London, or Abdul Wahid in ICT, or something like that, who are graduated, don't study with those who did not graduate. No, no, don't study with them. Only study with those who graduated. Right? Or at least who really gone through series of circles of knowledge with the ulama, on different fields, yeah. Then to be considered the talib al-ilm who can at least open up a class and teach, you need 20 years. If we made next discount, we say 15 years. If you ask us in Ramadan, we do discount, we say 15 years. But after or before Ramadan, 20 years only. Other than that, don't put yourself in the rest. Wallahi, at what? It's a big, big responsibility. People do not know how dangerous it is. Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِيَعِلْمِ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. So be careful. Do not chase what you have no knowledge of. Do not go after things that you don't know. As the hearing, sighting, and the heart will be responsible for that and questioning for that. And in that day, believe me, wallahi, no sheikh so-and-so, no brother so-and-so, no organization so-and-so will defend you. You will have to face that alone. You will have to face that alone. So, why do you want to put yourself in the risk? Why do you want to put yourself in the risk? Just be patient, and Allah will bring people to you. Allah will bring the people to you. Yeah? Sheikh Uthaymeen Ikhwan, rahimahullah ta'ala, we all know that he has students in almost all the world. Sheikh Uthaymeen, up until about 30, 40 years, maybe less than that, He had only few number of stages of knowledge. Only few number. People did not go to him, did not know him, did not know about him. He did not care. He was hired imam in the Masjid al-Haram. And he came for one or two nights and then he said, no, I want to go back to my masjid and my students, who are very little number. But before he died, Allah Ta'ala made his name to twangle all around the world. Now, you don't be any hustling. Because even if they say, don't say it by their tongues, you can see it on their actions and bodies, and that they want this position. Our will people can say Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki. They say Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki or not. I come to the airport, the immigration there look at me up and down. He doesn't care who I am. Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki. Yeah, let's be logic. Allah. Sorry, my Sheikh. Al-Fadda.
What do you push on his then, Mr. Spusali, for? What do you say about the people who call Quran with the Salafiyah is with them and with no one else, especially in the West, and the ones who follow them blindly? What do they say about them?
I only answer this question by one incident with Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Sheikh Ibn Baz one day received a call from a place called Artawiyah in Qasim. The caller said, "Ya Sheikh, I am from Artawiyah in Qasim. Here I have Ikhwan Muslimin, Jama'at Tabligh, and people call themselves Salafis. With whom I go?" He said, "You go with the one who called to the Quran and Sunnah. You go with the one who called to the Quran and Sunnah. Whether they are called Salafis, and in some places they call them Ansar Sunnah, or like that. None?" And then he warned them against their former Muslims. He said, they only care about politics and Tabligh, they don't care about Tawheed. But it is not the matter that who claim today. Many people claim that they are Salafi jihadis, Salafi takfiris, and maybe you hear now Salafi Christians or Salafi. We don't know. It's not a matter of calling, Ikhwan. It's the matter of,
not the name.
It's not the name. It's what they are upon, in reality. And I say, some Salafis, for example, they criticize Jama'at Tabligh because Jama'at Tabligh go to around the world, yani calling to Allah without knowledge. And they themselves call themselves Salafis, and they tour around the world. They tour. From Europe to America, to Latin America, India, and many places they tour around. But they did not have any ilm. They are good speakers. But they don't have any ilm. They don't have ilm. They studied with nobody. So how come they be, about something that they condemn the others for doing it? Why? I know that this, what I say, and I said it many times, this pleased them, but I'm here to please Allah Ta'ala. I'm not here to please so-and-so or so-and-so. Now, whether they like it, they don't like it. One of them came to me in Ramadan and said, "Ya Sheikh, this will affect your da'wah." I said, "Well, if you go and ask all the Muslims I visit, if I ask them any penny for what I say or for my da'wah, then yeah, you will see me, inshallah, pleasing them. Believe me, if I say any mistake and breach the mosque, I will kill them. They bound me up to them. And I'm not really after coming to these people or those people. I am after reward. Reward is here, and I said it. Even if the whosoever call me to give a da'wah, I will go. And I will give the da'wah to al-haq. As I understand, wallahu a'lam. And may Allah forgive me if I mistake. But I'm not going to please these people or those people. Allah.
You didn't mention the
source. Right, inshallah, come tomorrow to the dars, and I will, because the dars is continuing. I can't remember now the source, but I'll bring it to you tomorrow, inshallah.
There,
in ICT, Croydon. Yeah.
Also, is it true that Sheikh Maidan, so Tekil, the Arab TV channel, owners?
The Sheikh, yani, came and denied it. He said, I did not say that. And I did not mean that. But he warned these owners of TV channels, especially from those who are from the Dar al-Tawheed. And he's right then. He's right. I mean, why should we, because they are from ours, we say it's okay? No. What these TV channels are presenting is again building up the ghulu against them amongst the youth. And so the Sheikh is in fact defending them. But they said that the Sheikh said they to be killed. No, he said that the rulers, the Muslim rulers, should call them for tawbah and repentance from what they do. Now, if they don't accept them, it's the duty of the ruler who should deal with them the way it's supposed to be. But the Sheikh did not say generally, as they, these people, they just want anything to be said by the Shuyukh, so they emphasize it, and they cooperate on the battle to put down the Shuyukh. And that's one, Allah Alam.
Please could you advise us how we can benefit ourselves here in England in terms of removing the jahl from ourselves, or ignorance from ourselves, and what is upon us in terms of knowledge, meaning what do we have to do in order to, in terms of learning knowledge, what should we do from our knowledge?
JazakAllah khair. This is a question that reflects that the brother who asked this question is someone who is worried about the people here and himself. JazakAllah khair. Concerning knowledge, there are two types of knowledge. Basic knowledge that every Muslim should have, and this you can easily get from the masajid like Masjid Ibn Taymiyyah, Masjid in Croydon, and people like Umar, Brother Umar Jamaiki, who is teaching, and Brother Abdul Wahid, they are teaching, and some other who are teaching. This like to know the basics of Aqidah, basics of how to worship Allah Ta'ala. So you come to the masajid, like this masajid, and sit in the circles where the ilm is being delivered. But if you want the ilm to be a talibul ilm, the only way you get it is to go to the ulama. Go to the ulama. And as I told you, if you want to stay here and not to go abroad to the ulama, you stick to a talib al-ilm, stick by the meaning like his thobe or like his shadow. You be with it. Going, coming for at least from 15 to 20 years. So you become talib al-ilm. But this will be cut to half if you go abroad to sit with the alim and stick to the alim. Not even many people go to the world, to the Arab lands like Saudi or Yemen, and they are only book carriers. I call them the book carriers. They go abroad. He doesn't have good Arabic, and he insists to go to the circle of Sheikh Abbad. This does not mean the circle of Sheikh Abbad is bad or no, but it's advanced. Sheikh Abbad is considered a professor. And when he talks, he just gives short information that only people who are students who are advanced can understand. As when you come to the halaqah of Sheikh Abbad or Sheikh Muhammad Adam or Sheikh so and so, you will get lost while you think that I have selected Ed. And therefore, you come with opposite opinions of what the Shaykh saying. Now, and then you say, I'm a student of Shaykh so and so. Why? Because you sat to his class and Sharh Sahih Bukhari. Okay. Before you study Sahih Bukhari, you learn to study, you need to learn and study the Arabic. So you'll be strong in the Nahu, grammar, and in the Lugha, language, meaning the and the words and the sentence, how it means and how the Arab understand it. Now, and then you need to learn the basic of Mustalah al-Hadith. So you know when the Shaykh says this hadith is da'if. And here I remember يعني, an incident happened to Shaykh Abdullah, Shaykh Ghudiya, rahimahullah. Abdullah Ghudiya. One day, he had a conference in Jeddah. This was long, it was the first conference for him in Jeddah. And first lecture for him was after Fajr in King Saud Mosque in Jeddah. So once he sat on the chair and started the introduction of the Khutbat al-Hajj and this, and then he mentioned a hadith. A young lad who didn't study any principles, nothing, he just reads books. And he goes to, for example, Sahiha. Da'if Targhib. And just like hadith da'if, and that's it. He said, ya Shaykh, the hadith is da'if. The Shaykh said, da'if is you, sit down. That's true, he's the da'if. He's da'if in ilm. He's da'if in ilm, in terms of ilm. So we have to go gradually. Yani, show me in which field, engineering or medicine or whatsoever, people jump from elementary school to the college. You cannot, they don't accept you. They don't accept you. You have to go through all the process. You have to go to high school, college, and then if they find you qualified, not anybody graduate from the college can go to engineering college or medicine college. They see your scores. Oh, sorry. You're not qualified. No, I love it. I like it. You love it, you like it, you can buy the ruler, you can buy the, but you cannot get into the College of Engineering because you are not qualified. They could see that you are not able to understand them. Now, but in ilm-wise, people, they just don't, it's kidding, they just don't it like that. They go to Medina and they fail in the Jamia Islamia, but they come back to say, I'm a talib al-ilm, I studied the Sheikh so and so. Yeah, you start to circle, but you learn nothing because you did not understand nothing. Now, so we have to go through this if we want to seek the knowledge. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala knows our sincerity, our intentions, will provide us the ilm. Here's one last question. So I will take this as last question, inshallah.
How do we deal with the kufar, the kufar, on a day-to-day basis in Western society? And how does, what about the way we dress? What should we do with regards to the way we dress as well? And how do we deal with kufar and all the kufar on a day-to-day basis in Western society?
If you are talking about day by day, meaning the normal life, at work, at this, you have to give everyone his rights. And you deal the people in a nice way. Their cover is on their account. They're going to be responsible for it. If they don't do anything that harm you, you have to be gentle with them. You have to be nice with them.
Nah. But of course you do not join them when they practice their religions. Mm-hmm. And as I said before a couple of days, and some people say, well, end the Christmas, I think it is better to go to that I go to my neighbor, Christian neighbor, so that in the Eid he come to my house and say, nah, the religion doesn't split this way. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدُ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدُ مَا أَعْبُدُ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ نعم. So there's a distinction between the kufr and iman. In terms of religion, don't join them, even if they are your kinship, like parents or whatsoever. But in terms of life, you have to give it them, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, نعم, أَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِلَى مَنْ اَتَمَنَكَ وَلَا تَخُمْ مَنْ خَالَكَ. Be trustworthy to the one who trusted you. And do not deceive the one who deceives you. You deal with the people the way you are, not the way they are. You deal with the people, you treat the people the way you are. You are Muslim. Muslim doesn't lie. Muslim doesn't steal. Muslim doesn't cheat. Yeah? Muslim doesn't deceive. Muslim doesn't oppress. Yeah? Muslim doesn't curse. So you deal with people on these principles that Islam taught you. You don't deal with them the way they are, but you deal with them the way you are. Yeah? And in regard to the dressing of clothes, Alhamdulillah, ikhwan, and the justice obligates me to speak the truth. We are Ummah of justice. So we have to be just. You are here in the United Kingdom, living in a country where they give you freedom. They never tell you why you wear top, why you wear Pakistani dressing, where you are. They don't tell you that. They give you freedom. So, what is your thought? Unless, if it is at work, and at work they say, we will not allow you to dress like this, then you wear the trousers, but try to wear long shirt over it. And if they work, some works like car mechanic, even in Saudi, we do not allow car mechanics to wear top, or machinists, or like that, because the top might get into the machine and kill you. Yeah? Then it is not because of imitating, but because of necessity. Yeah? So you, in the normal occasions, you wear your Islamic clothes. So, and the sister wear abaya. At work, you as a brother, you can judge it. If they say, we'll not allow you with this type of dressing, then you wear the trousers and make it loose, and wear something, long goes to the knees or just above the knees. And there are some nice shirts that even they, the kuffar, wear. They wear, they use. So you wear that type of cloth that covers your awra, and inshallah by that you come to the middle way. Come to the middle way. Because some brothers, they find it okay. I see them wearing silver and nam like that, and chain and ear rings. I saw a brother today wearing a brother, Muslim brother, a ring. And they wear tight jeans, and they, it's not accidentally, they go on me and they want special brand of jeans. This is not the way. It's not the way. You dress yourself
no problem to go to work if they say you have to wear trousers, we don't allow a thobe, then wear trousers, but cover it with something and don't make it a style. You then imitate the kuffar. You look for the style of this is not correct. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbihi jazakallahu khayr.